let's come back together. Now, what we will do is we'll chip our way through these five implication headings here. We might only do one or two before coffee. We'll continue this first session after coffee, because then we'll go to the second one, which doesn't need to be quite as long. So that's fine. We could probably spend the whole day on the first one, I suspect. Getting the relation of word and spirit right. Anybody end up talking about issues in and around that?
They don't contradict each other. Yeah.
They don't contradict each other?
Yes.
Okay.
They are one of the same.
Sorry?
They are one of the same.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
But often people say, you know, you do Bible studies and I listen to... that there's a real kind of... this is a revealed word in a certain time in a certain place. Let's acknowledge that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the same spirit that was inspiring that inspires me today. And so therefore... there is a spectrum where people then tend to follow their spirit-led unction in decisions and what people do. And so, sadly, people talk of Christians who are word-based Christians as opposed to spirit-led Christians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then this is just highlights the fact that actually it's not one or other.
Yeah.
It's actually both, and God's chosen to. And just because there are passages in Romans that are really difficult to understand, we need to not just park it and go with our unction today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
a sense of the word feeding the spirit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
In the sense that they are the same, but actually separate.
Yeah.
Because of the spirit which resides in us. Here's an example this morning, Tim, and you're speaking... you're feeding and you're speaking God's word to us, and you are feeding the spirit that is in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so without the word, our spirit would not grow.
Yep. Great, yeah, thank you.
The word is the fuel and the spirit is the action.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. It's important to have some kind of image of it, isn't it? And that's a helpful one. Yes,
I think some people got confused with spirit and emotion. And they say, oh, well, I didn't feel the spirit at all at this service. And they might be saying, well, I didn't feel any emotion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That can happen. I think what can happen is spirit can be used for, the word spirit used to mean those elements of the Christian life related to emotion or spontaneity that are not related to when we're grappling with the Bible. And you can hear that kind of stuff all the time, can't you? I was slightly disturbed a few years ago at Bicker and Hinckley. I felt... at the end of a certain PCC meeting, I thought, man, my work here is not yet done. What have I been doing? I felt we had some confusion around it. Some things we talked about on PCC, I felt this confusion lay underneath it, so we might as well grasp the nettle. That might have been a dumb thing to do, I don't know. So we had an evening on word and spirit issues. And I put up some... I gave him the phrase, quote, the spirit was really in that meeting. And said, what are the occasions on which you have used that, or would use that? And what it boiled down to was spontaneity. Or a certain kind of aesthetic feeling. Now, for some, that aesthetic feeling was, you know, 2,000 people jump in with a Christian rock band. For others, it was go to Coventry Cathedral to the very formal communion service. But frankly, they were saying the same thing. It was the aesthetic and the feel that they happened to like because of their personal
taste. I think sometimes that's quite dangerous to kind of think that if we haven't felt this spontaneity, this emotion, we haven't got the spirit. Mm. And I think that people get caught up in that, and it's quite a dangerous thought.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And the discussion that I never, ever want to have with someone is... often you'll get these discussions about your word and spirit, and a bit like, sorry, I don't know your name.
Mark.
Well, a bit like Mark said. Some people will say, oh, you're a really word-based church, and we go to a really kind of spirit-focused church. Mm. And the point in the argument where I just want to hit somebody is in a sanctified kind of way.
With a Bible.
With a really ancient, heavy Bible. It is when someone says, yes, you need a balance of the two, don't you? Mm. To which way are you going to go? No. Because as soon as you say balance, that tells me
the choice. Yeah.
You're ahead of me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, they're separate, and we need to go, oh, a bit of balance. One of my colleagues at Cornell, Christopher Ash, the way he likes to put it is, saying, we want a bit more of the word, or, oh, we need to rebalance a bit more of the spirit. That's a bit like listening to the guy playing a violin and saying, do you know, this is great, but it would be better if we had a bit more of a violin and a bit less of the violinist. Yeah. Or the other way around. It is, you know, that's not mean to say word, it's as dumb as that. Mm-hmm. Or as lacking in understanding as that. And if you have people in your home group who, you know, in the end sort of chip away at this kind of thing or worry about this kind of thing, well, gently educate them. Or if you've already told them 10 times and they've been a Christian for 40 years, educate them slightly less gently, privately. If they're a new Christian, educate them very, very gently. But do educate them. And I think we can help ourselves by saying, let's use as much spirit language as we can around what we're doing with our Bible studies. And there's no one right phrase, but because these things are very loaded, you know, it's often, this is a charismatic church, or this is most definitely not a charismatic church. And those who are most definitely charismatic churches say spirit, spirit, spirit every sentence. Just so you know, they're really charismatic and not like those really dull word people. And the word people say word, 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 and don't mention spirit much because they want you to know we're not like those crazy mad charismatics. I used to put, for instance, to say, the Bible is thoroughly an aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit, so let's make sure we talk about it that way. Let's listen to God the Holy Spirit speaking as we do this, and so people see this is how God the Holy Spirit speaks. Your leaders, you're here because you're the leader of a particular group of people in your group with responsibility for them, so I think perhaps the thing to take from this is think of who they are. What are they like in relation to this? If it's all cerebral, if that's where they naturally go, and no one ever talks about anything that even comes anywhere near what it feels like to be in the Lord Jesus, you need to talk a lot of emotion with them, don't you? In the right way. Will somebody please tell me what it feels like to know Jesus? In this, you know, however you do it, you know, push them that way. If you've other got a group that's dominated by people who, frankly, you never know what mood they're going to show up in. It all depends on, quote, how close I felt to Jesus this week. Well, you've got to gently, week by week, persistently, nudge them in the other direction, haven't you? Yes, you may feel that the Lord is not telling you whether to marry that guy you've been engaged to for 10 years. Will you just dump him or marry him? No, the Lord is not giving you clear guidance. But he's going to speak incredibly clearly to you through the word that the Spirit is going to speak to us tonight. You may not know by the end of this hour whether to marry Derek, but you will have heard clearly from the Lord. Do you see what I mean? It just depends where people are in your group. So maybe just think about that. Are they more word equals cerebral equals we never talk spirit, we never talk anything that sounds like living religion, this is a religious comprehension exercise? Or are they people who just, you know, how I'm doing as a Christian is entirely dependent on where my emotions are, and frankly whether the Holy Spirit speaking to me seems more to do with my hormones or how many cups of coffee I had or whatever? Where are they? And wherever they are, shift them towards this sane, biblically true understanding of how word and spirit are together.